Thank you so much. Can we give Pastor Lynn a big hand clap? We love you, Pastor. So good. So good to be here with you. We had a great time this first service. And G2, we've had a good time so far, haven't we? It's amazing. Love this youth ministry, and it's an honor to be here. I thought the musicians did a great job today. Can we say amen? I was thinking, my God, they sing like heaven up here. I felt like I was in the heaven, and I was looking for the angels, and I was sitting next to Pastor Durrett, so I'm like, there's one here. Come on. And it's amazing to be at Amazing Grace Church. I sure do love, I know I speak for my pastors, Ken and Connie Wild. They love your pastors, and we consider you our Twin Falls family. Love Twin Falls. Been driving over that bridge, watching crazies jump off of it for a lot of years. And it was great. Got to see Shoshone Falls for the first time. I thought it was in Shoshone, so I was a little surprised about that. But I saw the falls a couple days ago, took a picture to prove it. How many know if it doesn't happen on Facebook, it didn't happen? So you have to prove that you do things in life by taking pictures of them. Anyways, it's great to be here with you. My name is Mark Francie. I've been married for 11 years. So if you want, we could pass the bucket again. I'll give to that. And been married to the woman of my dreams. About 14 years ago, I walked into this church in Boise, Idaho called Capital Christian Center. Saw a beautiful girl singing. And I thought, Jesus, if you're real, make her like me. And wouldn't you know it, God has a sense of humor. I liked the church so much, I thought, man, I got to figure out a way not only to get in staff, but get into that family. And when you marry the pastor's daughter, someone say job security. Come on. So I am the pastor's son-in-law. I love Pastor Josh and Jackie. I think you guys have amazing youth pastors at this church. Phenomenal job. So excited to see this little baby girl. Going to be adorable. And I think Marquis is a good middle name. Just kidding. And Pastor Lynn and Durrett, I just think you guys are incredible. And, you know, I think the true measure of a great pastor isn't how good they can communicate behind a pulpit. I think if you really want to gauge the success of a man or woman of God, you look no further than those that are living inside of his house. And in my opinion, I think you have some of the most successful pastors on the earth. They have four kids. All four love Jesus. Five kids. Four girls, one boy. I love Carson. Where are you at, Carson? You're a man of God. It's a man of God over there. My God. He works out, owns a Bowflex, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. And four amazing girls. Two of them I've heard sing. They sing like angels, and it's an honor to be here. I want to get rolling today, but if you're new to church, what's going to happen right now is I'm going to go to Acts chapter 20. I'm going to read five verses out of Acts 20. I'm going to pray because the great theologian MC Hammer said, we have to pray just to make it today. And after I pray, going to tell a couple jokes. The Bible says laughter does good like medicine. And so we're going to enjoy God today. Can I get an amen? We're not going to endure God. We're going to enjoy him. It says in the presence of God is the fullness of it's joy. It's a joy to serve God. A depressed Christian is an oxymoron. Come on. We should be excited about God, the things of God. And so this morning, I'm going to open up, and I know I'm younger than some preachers. I look like I'm 32. I'm actually 33. And we're going to go to Acts chapter 20, five verses. And I'm a youth pastor, so I'm used to talking to young people. So if I talk fast, it's because your kids have a short attention span. It's your fault. And going to tell a couple jokes today. I might have a title. If you want to be dignified, my title for you today is called Growing Vibrant Faith. Growing Vibrant Faith. But if you're young, maybe young at heart, my youth title, which they have to be a little bit audacious to capture the imagination and attention of young people, my title for you today is called Getting Lucky. Before you're offended and leave, I'll explain. It's not what you think it is. And Acts chapter 20, if you're there, say I'm there. And we're going to have a good time this morning. And it says this in chapter 20, verse 7. It says, now on the first day of the week, Sunday, when the disciples gathered together to break bread, we're guessing it was Chick-fil-A. Someone say Christian chicken. Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. This is a theological backing that there's been long-winded preachers since the beginning. Preached till midnight. That's a long church service. There was many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window. In a what? Love that. Like when you talk back to me. Don't let the Caucasian skin fool you. There's a black preacher trapped inside of me. I need a couple good amens to get him out. Come on. I said that. I told him. I told that. I've got to preach at the Potter's House in Dallas, Texas a couple times, and it's one of the largest African-American churches, and so I told them that, and they loved it. I said, I've been training Caucasians in the Northwest how to do church like you guys. You say open your Bibles, people go, glory! So, another message. In a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus. Say his name, it's fun to say, Eutychus. It's like saying Francisco. Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep, someone's been to that church, was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story window, was taken up dead. Paul went down, fell on him, embraced him, said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. Now, when he had come up, they broken bread, likely In-N-Out Burger, can I get an amen? And they had eaten, they talked a long while, even till daybreak. He departed. Then he brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Let's pray this morning. We're going to have a good time today. Jesus, thank you for Amazing Grace Fellowship. Thank you for an amazing community of believers that love you. I pray today, whether we're atheists, agnostics, Hindu, Buddhists, Muslims, or Lord, maybe we love Jesus with all of our heart. I pray wherever we're starting today, that you'd meet us where we are, and that you would lead us into where you want us to be. We invite you today, Jesus, to have your way, and everyone in God's house this morning said a good old-fashioned amen. Have you ever been, you ever felt, you ever experienced what it's like to be lucky? Now, I know we're Christians, so we don't like the word lucky. We prefer to use the word blessed. Is there any blessed people in the house of God this morning? You know, to be blessed, I've had those moments like you find a good parking spot in December at the mall. Like, you love me, Jesus. You catch all green lights on the way to church. You feel blessed. You go to McDonald's. Yeah, exactly. There's always somebody. You tell people you go to McDonald's, they look at you like you endorse dogfighting. You know what I mean? It's like, look, I said McDonald's. Come on. No one admits they eat at McDonald's, but somehow they sell 40 million cheeseburgers a day. I don't go there very often, but I do every once in a while. And I don't know if you've been there before, but you ever found the bonus fry? You know, after you eat all your fries in 27 seconds, and then you realize they're gone, and you're discouraged temporarily, and then you somehow look in the back, and there's one fry that you missed, and it's 17 inches longer than the rest of the fries. How did I miss the bonus fry? Bonus fry gets an entire ketchup packet. Come on. It's almost like God's like, you know what? They're gone, but just bless them. You've been blessed before? I've been lucky. To be lucky means to be fortunate, to be blessed. I peaked out academically in the second grade. It's a true story. Second grade, we did a test. If you're a millennial, if you're like, let's say you're older than 30, you're going to remember an ancient method of communication called pencils. And back in the day, we used to take tests, not digitally, on phones or tablets or iPhones or Twitter or Facebook or YouTube. You twit face, we'll keep going. We used to take pencil tests, and there was a test. I like, personally, true and false test. I'm not a gambler, but that's 50% odds. Come on. I can live with that. I was introduced in the second grade to one of the most demonic forms of quizzing called Scantron test. It was actually engineered in hell by Lucifer himself. And Scantron test had 5 options per question. Not good odds with guessing. And one day, parents were going through a divorce, didn't care much about school, it was second grade. And so I thought to myself, we have a big test, there's 99 problems. I am going to finish first today. So I got my number 2 pencil. Where's the Christians at? You know what I'm talking about. Young people are like, what's a number 2 pencil? We'll just keep going. Wikipedia. And I got my pencil, and I literally finished this test in about 37 seconds. And what I decided to do is I decided, you know what, this is going to look good today. So I started on number 1, and I started with E. Number 2, I went to D. Number 3, I went to C. Number 4, I went to, we have some smart people in Twin Falls. 5, I went to A. 6, I went to B. 7, I went to C, D, E, D, C, B, A. It looked like Zorro got a hold of my test. It was just like all the way down. Finished, dropped it like it was hot on the teacher's desk. And just, you know, felt good about myself. The next day, again, I wasn't the best student. So the principal of the school
came to my classroom and said, I need to talk to Mark. Now, we knew each other. So I didn't know what the occasion was that I was going to have this conversation. And so we went in the hallway. He put his arm around me and he said, son, I need to talk to you about your test yesterday. I said, yeah. He said, that was a placement test. I'm like, uh-oh. I don't know if I'm going to the school next year. Might be changing buses, everything, you know? And he said, that was to determine how smart you are. I'm like, oh, man. He said, out of the entire second grade, you had the highest test score. It's a true story. I got a pin, like a little lapel pin. Wore it until I graduated high school. Part's not true. I peaked out. I was lucky. I was fortunate. I was blessed. Tried it again. Only worked one time. So if you're young, just don't try that at home. I love this story in Acts because how many of the Bible has a good sense of humor? I actually have the persuasion Jesus himself has a great sense of humor. How do you know this? Because you start studying God's word and you find some really funny things in the Bible. Like, for instance, the book of Acts was written by a guy named Luke. Luke is arguably one of the most important authors of the New Testament. Without Luke, we don't know what Christianity looks like after the resurrection. Luke takes the time to write the book of Acts. Luke is the only non-Gentile or only non-Jewish author of the New Testament. And he tells a story about this booming, vibrant, it was the most dynamic church service on the earth that night in this city. Paul's traveling through, and Luke writes, he's a doctor by vocation, and he writes down a story of a church service that went long. It went into midnight. Tells the story of a young man that falls asleep in the church service. And the crazy part about it is he thinks it's worth noting that not only does he fall asleep, he falls out of a window to his death, and his name is Eutychus, and he could have made this kid just unknown and said there was a kid that fell out of the window and he died, but Jesus has such a sense of humor that he decides, tell him the name of the kid that fell. Eutychus fell out of the window. Eutychus literally means lucky. It translates lucky. So I want you to imagine the most dynamic service. It'd be like Billy Graham, Brian Houston, Pastor Lynn. Come on, somebody. Preaching at your church. He's there one night. So imagine if it's modern day, social media is erupting, everyone's talking about it, it's trending on Twitter, it's a big deal. Everyone's in the newspaper, Craigslist, everyone knows. Pastor Paul, Apostle Paul, is coming to Amazing Grace Fellowship in Twin Falls. The parking lot is stuffed, it's capacity, camels everywhere, come on. And there's standing room only. Chairs are full. Every chair is full. People are lining the walls of the church service. People are so excited. Power of God is present to heal. Paul's preaching so good that chairs are falling out, getting slain in the spirit. Come on. Tough crowd. And Paul, this is crazy. Paul's preaching so good. And in the middle of the message, I bet the ushers are gathering. There's a commotion in the back. And all of a sudden, you hear people over here arguing, saying, you tell him. No, you tell him. No, you tell him. No, you tell him. And finally, Luke draws the short straw. The physician walks up on the stage graciously and says, Pastor Paul, you're preaching great. Good message. Hey, we have a situation. What? There's a kid named Lucky. He's not lucky anymore. So Paul pauses his message, walks down three flights of stairs. And I'll be honest, if it was me, I'll tell you what I would say. If you fell asleep during my message and I revived you from the dead, I would say, ha! So what did you get for falling asleep during my preaching? But you know what I love about the story? It says that he falls on him, embraces him, and he says this, he's not dead. His life is still in him. He's not dead. His life is still in him. I believe when Lucky came back to life, and when you talk to him and I talk to him in heaven, one thing Eutychus would say is he would say that he would have never fell out of that window that day if three things would have been different. Can I share three things with you this morning as I close? There's one person that gave me permission. Thank you. Thank you, Danielle. I'm going to do it anyways because I got the microphone. Is that all right?
You know, the truth is Eutychus, if he was here today, he'd say there's three things that would have kept his faith vibrant, alive, would have kept him spiritually alert, spiritually alive, physically alive, if three things would have been different. First thing I want to make note of is I believe that the most dangerous place in any church is the window. Someone say the window. Now, this is going to blow your mind, but windows separate the outside from the inside. We got aspirin in the back, if that hurts your head. Windows separate the outside from the inside. You could say it this way. In Idaho, in the wintertime, outside is cold, inside is... So at the window is where hot and cold come together. I believe that the people I have met in my 17 years of being in the ministry, 15 years being a pastor, and again, I look like I'm 33, I'm 32. What I would say have in common from people that have lost marriages, lost children, gone through tragedy, heartache, and maybe even have walked away from God or their faith has gotten weakened, I would say that one common thread is that somewhere along the way in their life, they positioned their life next to the window. Window Christianity is when you want the benefits of being in the house, but you want to be close enough to the cold air that you can kind of still enjoy what's in the world. I can't tell you how many people I know make bad decisions because they want the benefits of heaven, but they still want to kind of live a little bit like hell. Can I tell the truth in church? Is that all right? I want to let you know that the window is where this young man is positioned, posted up, and he fell out of the window. The first thing Eutychus would say, are you with me this morning? If he was alive today, he'd say, I never would have fell out of the window. Wouldn't have fell out of marriage. Wouldn't have fell out of my faith. Wouldn't have lost my business. Wouldn't have got discouraged, lived in depression, had the dark cloud over me, and lived with bondages and addictions. If number one, I would have made a decision, if I'm taking notes today, to change my proximity. I got three P words for you. They all start with the same letter. Because I'm a genius. Just kidding. All P words, proximity. I believe if Eutychus was here today in Twin Falls, he'd say, I never would have fell. My faith would have been vibrant if my proximity was different. You see, if Eutychus would have fell out of the front row that day of church, he would have fell 16 inches to the carpet. You know the most dangerous place to be in church is? It's when you're barely in church. Most dangerous place to be in your faith is when you say, I want enough of Jesus to make it to heaven, but I don't know if I want any of the, I want the privileges of Christianity, but none of the responsibilities. If you want to ruin your kids, give them the privileges without the responsibilities. Last time I checked, good parents know that that creates brats. Is there any honest people in Twin Falls? They're like, that, it doesn't create brats. You were probably one of those people. Come on. Just kidding. It's like every family has a weird family member. I always say that. And then the crowd gets quiet and they're like, I don't have any weird people in my family. I'm like, Paul would say, you know what? Eutychus never would have fell out of that window if he made a decision to sit closer to that where the action is. Now, here's what I believe about theologically. Is this going to blow your mind? Very simple thought, but very profound thought. Do you know that the only person on the earth that determines how close you are to Jesus is you? I love Christianity for two reasons. Number one, I hate losing. I don't get witchcraft. I don't get Satanism. It's like, why would you serve a team that's going to lose? I love Jesus because all he does is win, win, win. No, I'm sorry. Jesus is a winner. He wins. And so I love that. But I love Christianity because I like sports. And it's the greatest team sport called the body of Christ. But it's also the greatest individual sport, meaning it's not a sport. I know, just you follow me. Is that no one else can get close to Jesus for you. Are you following? People can pray for you. But we determine how close we are to Jesus. I grew up, we didn't have a lot of money. We were poor. Like our welcome mat just said, well. My dad would save up every year to take us. We're Laker fans because we're Christians. Just kidding. I love Pastor Josh, but he's a Raiders fan. I forgive him. Amen. Keep going. I go to Laker games growing up. My dad would save up. We'd have to go to watch the Lakers when they played the Clippers. Because if the Clippers were at home, they played in the same arena. The only difference was the wood floor. And we went to Clippers games because when the Clippers were at home, the tickets were half the price. So we would watch the Clippers play the Lakers. We'd wear a Laker attire. We'd go to McDonald's afterwards because we're Christians. He's a dog fighter. And what we would do is we would tell the people afterwards, they'd say, what'd you do? We said, we went to the game. They said, who won? We'd say, L.A. That was funny. I'll keep going. Tough crowd. My dad would save up. We'd had the very top seat inside of the stadium. Top seat. like literally in the Forum, Inglewood, California, I could touch the ceiling behind my chair, last row. We had to take elevation medication before we went. Nosebleeds, the whole nine yard. We would literally, not exaggerating, pack binoculars to watch the game. As a kid, I remember watching Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy, and I would watch these great athletes, but I remember thinking, this is boring. You know what's crazy? You can watch the greatest athletes in the world, but if you're not close enough to the action, it's disengaging. I have the privilege of mentoring a lot of athletes now, a lot of Boise State basketball, football players. Many of them have gone in the NFL and NBA. One of the guys I know, kind of through the grapevine, I preached at a church in San Diego, and I met a guy named Jimmy Butler, and so he plays for the Bulls and got tickets. He hooked me up, and I got floor seats to watch the Jazz versus the Bulls, and I had the best seat, my opinion, in the entire room. My feet were on the wood floors. It was me. It was the aisle to the locker room, and then it was Derrick Rose and the entire bench right here. The security guy, as I sat in my seat at the beginning of the game, he goes, last night, LeBron James fell into the person sitting in this chair. I'm like, yes, Lord. And so I'm sitting there, didn't pay for it. He used church money. I didn't use church money. Settle down, suspicious person. And I got this ticket for free. I thought about selling it on Craigslist, let's be honest. Could have retired 3 years earlier. We'll keep going. But I'm sitting in this chair, true story, and I literally am watching the same sport, same athleticism that I used to watch as a kid in the nosebleed seats, and something occurred to me, that your distance can determine your interest. Would you write that down? Distance determines interest. I can't tell you how many people I've met that go, Mark, Christianity is boring. I say, no, it's amazing, but it could be that you're in the nosebleed seats. I believe that Eutychus fell out of the window. This makes me feel good as a preacher because Paul is the greatest Christian on the earth and he has someone fall asleep in his church service. I'm like, if it can happen to Paul, it can happen to anybody. If you're bored today, I want to let you know that you're a boring human being because I'm not a boring preacher. And the church said amen. This is crazy. Paul has someone fall asleep in his message, three stories to his death, and Paul is a phenomenal communicator. So Paul would say to him, you know what, Eutychus, you never would have fell asleep if, number one, you would have got closer to the action. Because remember this, proximity determines interest. If you're bored with God, it's not because God's boring. It's because you're in the nosebleed seats. Mark, I want the benefits of being a Christian, but I don't want any of the responsibilities. Friends, it's the responsibilities of Christianity that makes you enjoy the benefits of it. That was good preaching, right? I don't good preach when I hear it. Amen. If I can't get a Pentecostal amen, I'll take a Baptist head nod. I'll take a Presbyterian eyebrow raise. I'll take a Latter-day Saint deep breath. Give me something today. Some of you are sitting there like the cover girl for the Book of Lamentations. Let's stay with me, people. Eutychus would say number two, he would say, I never would have fell out. My faith would have been vibrant if I would have had different priorities. You see, I believe that proximity determines interest, but I want you to know this. Priorities will actually determine... You protect best, you could say it this way, what you value the most. You protect best what you value the most. Meaning this, he was in the back. Now, if you're smart, you know that you're in the back usually for two reasons. Number one, you're late. And all the good seats are taken. Come on. And I'm not talking to anyone in the back today. I love all of you. God bless all of you. But just me growing up historically, okay? I know that I was in the back usually because I was late and there was no seats left in the front. Or number two, he intentionally got there on time and intentionally made a decision to sit in the back. Either way, it's a reflection of priorities. Because usually you're late to things that aren't that important or emergency happen. And the likelihood is this, is Eutychus was at the window because he either showed up late because it wasn't important or he sat in the back because he goes, you know what, I know it's going to be good up there and I'm not ready to go all in with Jesus just yet. So he intentionally sat in the back. A couple years ago, I stepped into a puddle in Boise. You ever stepped in a puddle when it's raining outside and you thought it was a puddle, but it ended up being a wormhole? Stepped in this puddle. I thought it was like 3 inches deep. It swallowed my right leg. My entire right leg got baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on. And I stepped into it. And I'll never forget this. As I'm falling, I have a notebook and I have three books in my hand with my cell phone. And I don't know if you've ever seen someone fall, like a grown-up fall. It's usually pretty ugly. It's embarrassing. Everything went slow motion. I knew I was going to fall. There's no way out of it. And I somehow found a way as I'm falling to drop everything I was holding except my cell phone, because they weren't waterproof back then. And you have to refinance your house to get a new one. Come on. And so I literally found a way to grab my cell phone. And as I'm falling, I lift it towards heaven. I'm like, I'm taking this for you, cell phone. You're my friend. We protect best what we value most. We protect best what we value most. You know why Eutychus was in the back? Because it didn't matter that much to him. And I want to let you know, friends, that one of the greatest decisions you can make with your life is to make the most important things in life the most important thing. That was deep. It was deep, wasn't it? You know what the problem with most Americans are in America? Is we spend more time trying to build our castles than God's kingdom. I want to let you know a secret that if you put God first, he'll take care of everything you do. Kind of sounds a little bit like Jesus to me. Matthew 6:33. Seek first my kingdom. Seek. Twin Falls, help me out, somebody. Seek first, not second, not third, not fourth. I heard there was a great preacher on a video not long ago that said if you button the top button first, that all the other buttons will fall into place. I know good preaching when I hear it. Come on. I'm just kidding. Seek first. You know what the problem with most people is we make the minors of life the majors, and we make the majors in life the minors. For most North American Christians, Christianity is a hobby. It's an elective credit. It's not the main course. It's always funny to me when people say in America, you could ask any American Christian, you say, would you be willing to die for your faith? And those that obsess over the rapture and you read the Left Behind novels, God bless you. Nicolas Cage, God bless him. You like the idea of end times. You say, Mark, I would die before someone marked me with the beast. But you know what's crazy to me is people say they would die for their faith, but the idea of giving 10% of their income to their local church is like, never. You're telling me that you'd give your life, but you can't trust God with your finances? I find a little bit, I'm not after your money today. Pastor Lynn's not asking me to say this, but I find it interesting that you talk about money in church and people like start acting like scared. The stingy start to cringe, the generous start to smile. Come on. It's crazy. But the reality is I believe this, you protect best what you value. Can I keep going today? Looks like I shot some of you right there. I apologize. Let's keep going. Number three, if you're taking notes today, Eutychus would tell us, he said, Mark, I never would have fell out of that window if he was talking to me. I never would have fell out of that window if number one, my proximity was closer to the action. Number two, if my priorities were different, if the main thing was the main thing. And finally, even if the band could come up, he would have said that I never would have fell out of the window if my posture or my position was different. You know what I believe many times is it's really, let me just be honest, it's really difficult to fall asleep standing up. Unless you're narcoleptic, which, can we just be honest, the guy that invented the timer on the TV, he had to have narcolepsy. Think about it. It's hard to fall asleep when you're standing up. Do you know why I think many people fall asleep in their faith? It's not because God's not real. It's not because God's not moving. It's not because there's not power in the church. It's because their spiritual posture is sitting. And then if you sit long enough, you'll begin to lay. And if you lay long enough, you'll begin to fall asleep. And when you fall asleep, that's usually when you make your worst decisions and you fall in areas of your life. So I would say to you that one of the greatest things you can do with your faith is say, Jesus, I don't want to be sitting on my hands. I want to be like a soldier standing and ready. Every day when I wake up, I love it when I heard one preacher say, every day he wakes up and says, good morning, Holy Spirit. What do you want to do today? I believe that when your spiritual posture is that of God, whatever you want to do is what I want to do. I believe this is when our faith is vibrant. Can I get an amen? Notice what Paul does. He comes down to him. He falls out of the window. And I hear, this is what I hear in my spirit, even as we were worshiping this morning. This service is different. There's actually power in this room to heal today. I could hear it. Danielle was singing that second song, and I could hear the Holy Spirit say, Mark, there's power in this room for people to get healed. And some of you need to know this. You're not dead. There's still life in you. I hear Jesus, literally. You know what Jesus did? 2,000 years ago, he came down, not three flights of stairs. He came from heaven to earth. You know what Christianity's about? It's about God treating Jesus the way he should have treated us. so that 2,000 years later, he could treat us the way that he wanted to treat Jesus. Jesus came down from heaven to earth. What happened, Mark? And this is what happened. He didn't judge us, point his finger and say, you idiot, you fell asleep. Your proximity was bad. Your posture was messed up. Your priorities were out of whack. Notice that there's no rebuke from Paul. You know what Paul does to Lucky? The same thing that Jesus does to us. Mark Francie, he's a liar. Mark Francie, he's a thief. I was growing up in Southern California. Mark Francie, he's a pervert. Mark Francie made bad decisions. Mark Francie doesn't deserve the grace and the goodness of Jesus. But you know what Jesus did back when I was 18? Is he said, Mark Francie looks dead, but there's still life in him. And I got good news that Christianity is simply this. It's one beggar telling another beggar where they found bread. C.S. Lewis said, I believe in Christianity as I believe in the sun. Because not only do I see it, but by it I see everything else. You're here today, and I want to let you in on a secret. Jesus isn't judging you, pointing his finger at you, saying, you idiot, your proximity's bad. Your posture's messed up. Your priorities are out of whack. He's a loving God, because here's the deal. What Paul did for Lucky, Jesus does for us. You see, I'm Lucky. You're Eutychus. I'm Eutychus. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying, you're not dead. Greatest days of your life are ahead of you. Can I get an amen from the church? I'm going to pray for somebody. Would you stand to your feet as we close? 9 trips to Australia ago, I got to preach at a conference. It was a God thing. It was a huge conference. It was three different cities in Australia. They had Bishop T.D. Jakes speaking at it, Chris Hill speaking at it. They had Ravi Zacharias speaking at it. And they invited a youth pastor of all people from Boise, Idaho. I had no idea how I got there. It was one of those moments like, Jesus, you're real. Because I could never get myself here. I remember fasting like crazy. I'm like, God, I don't want to be bad. I don't want to be bad. I don't want to be bad. And I sought the Lord. And I showed up there and I felt like I preached the okay message. But you know what's crazy? I've been in Australia 9 times. I've been there almost 2 times a year since I went the first time. And what opened up Australia for me, I really do believe, is I was in a service much like this one and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, he said, Mark, there's power in this room for people to be healed. So at the end of the service, like I'm going to do right now, I said, there's people in this room that you need a physical miracle in your body, a miracle, creative miracle, something that medicine can't do, that doctors can't do, that surgeries can't do, miracle. In the room, I could feel faith begin to rise in the room. There was a guy that was hosting me all week. I didn't know him very well. His name was Chris. He's a 6'9", Australian with a big beard. Looked like one of the cast members for Duck Dynasty. And he was driving me around. Didn't know him very well, but the Holy Spirit said, Mark, I want you to pray for him and his wife. Didn't even meet his wife yet. Didn't know anything about him. It's the third largest church in Australia. In this huge room, thousands of people. And I said, Chris, you and your wife, come here. And the word gave me a word of knowledge for him. I said, God says you're getting ready to enter a new season. And you're going to be fruitful. And God says kids are coming. And you could feel like the air come out of the room. And the whole church goes, oh. He's one of the executive pastors in the church. And what I didn't know is his wife had an operation to remove all of her female organs. It was physically impossible for them to have kids. And I said, God, I don't know why, but God said this. And the room just, and the power, I'm not even kidding. They were probably 30 feet away. Power of God hit this couple, fell on the floor, began to cry. I left Australia. Within a month, I got an email saying, you're never going to believe this, Mark. We're pregnant. God physically put organs back in this woman's body. They don't have one. They have 2 kids now. He's the lead pastor of a church in Australia. And what happened is from that creative miracle, I started going there and miracles started happening all over where I went. I got to let you know, I've never healed one person in my whole life. But I've prayed for people and Jesus has healed tons of people. I've seen, I don't know why, I got like this fertility grace. 3 couples that had operations that the doctor said would be impossible to have kids. 3 of them have had children. I don't know why I share that this morning other than the Holy Spirit said to share that story because there's some people in here you've been trying to have kids and God says, I am the God that can open up the womb. And God wants you to know if he can heal that issue, God heals cancer. In GC, our youth ministry, we've grown from 12 students. We have about 1,200 that show up at our big gatherings now. And I want you to know, it doesn't grow because I'm a great communicator. It's grown because the power of Jesus has shown up every week. And today as I close, this is all right, Pastor, I feel like praying for healing. Would you close your eyes today? I just feel it so strong. Someone has arthritis in here really bad. It's in your hands. And the Holy Spirit's going to heal you. You're going to feel this heat come over your hands right now. He's healing arthritis right now. Someone's in a preliminary stage of prostate cancer. And the Holy Spirit's healing your physical body right now. There's even someone in here, you got a like bone spurs in your spine, creating bad pain in your spine. And the Lord would heal your back today. You could feel this presence going from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Someone was in a bad car accident. Your hands go numb occasionally, even your limbs and your fingers. And the Lord right now is healing someone's back. How do you know, Mark? I'm not the smartest guy. I'm not even the best looking, even though I'm close. Can I get an amen? But let me say, honestly, I know when the Holy Spirit speaks to me. And the Holy Spirit's whispered in my ear and he says, Mark, there's someone that got in a car accident, really bad. Might have been a motorcycle accident even. And you've had numbness in your hands. God's healing it right now. Someone's been trying to have kids for like over 9 years. And God said, I am the God that creates people to be fruitful and to multiply. Pray you'd heal right now in Jesus' name. If you need healing in your body, would you just lift your hand all over the room? Almost, I'll be done in like 3 minutes. I pray right now for every hand that's up. I ask you that you would heal what doctors can't heal, what medicine can't do. I pray, Lord, I even feel like someone has like thyroid issue. God's healing someone's thyroid today. Stabilizing you in Jesus' name. Come against a spirit of depression, discouragement, spirit of death. You will not die. You're not going to jump off a bridge. God says you will live. Someone came in here today and you've been thinking about jumping off the bridge. God says, no, you didn't come to church today to die. You came to church to start to live. He's healing someone. I take authority over the spirit of death today in Jesus' mighty name. Heal right now. Some of you are going to feel the presence of God right on your body. And here's where I begin to end. If you're here, you say, Mark, this message is for me. Actually, I love saying this. The whole room, would you say this with me? Say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me through this message? Some of you today, you know that your proximity from God is far. If you're here today, you say, Mark, I feel far from God. Maybe you fell away from Jesus. Maybe you've never known him, and today you want to give your life to Jesus. Would you do me a favor? On the count of three, with every eye closed, would you just lift your hand and say, Mark, I want to recommit my life to Jesus or give my life to Jesus for the first time. I want to have vibrant faith. If that's you, one, all over the room. There was 11 last service. Two, hands already going up. I love it. Three, would you lift your hand? That's me. I'm going to give my life, rededicate my life to Jesus today. Would you put it up really high? Don't be shy. No one's looking. I see two. I see three. Anybody else? Four, five, six, seven. I see eight. Anyone else? Thank you so much. You put your hands down. Church, would you pray with these eight people? Would you say, Jesus, I invite you into my life. Would you forgive me? Would you heal me? And would you use me for your purpose on the earth? I love you, Jesus, because you first loved me. In Jesus' name. Somebody at Amazing Grace said amen. Secondly, we're going to clap in a second. You say, Mark, my priorities. I love God, but I'll be honest, I've kind of ended up at some windows and I want to get back to where the action is. I feel like God's challenging my priorities again. Financially, using your gifts, your talent, your time, building God's house. If that's you, would you lift your hand on the count of three? The Holy Spirit's dealing with you today. One, all over the room. Two, that's me. Three, would you lift your hands? God, I hear you. I'm going to change some priorities. I don't want to major in the minors. Thank you. See those hands up. And finally, you say, Mark, I feel like my posture, I'm not really at attention. I've been kind of late, like apathetic, a little bit lazy in my faith. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hands. Just put your hand on your heart today and say, Mark, I want my position to change spiritually. I want to be ready for whatever God has. I pray you'd bless this room today. I pray you would heal today. And I just thank you in advance that we believe that from this day onward, God, there's going to be something new in our lives. Thank you for vibrant faith. I prophesy even now a wave of growth over Amazing Grace Fellowship. I declare that, Lord, as you grow this room, that they would grow this city. And that, Lord, as you revive us, that you'd bring revival outside of these walls. We pray blessing, favor, abundance over Amazing Grace Fellowship in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And somebody in the house said amen. Would you give God a good hand clap? That's 8 people today.